Have you considered what would happen in the event of a prolonged electrical outage occurring in your area? What if the electrical outage was not isolated to your area alone, but in fact shut down the entire electrical grid in America, and estimates for restoring power ran into months and possibly years? That scenario is much more realistic than most people want to believe. I'll talk about this and much more with my guest Mark Goodwin in this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things. Of shoes and chips and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Welcome, friends. Thanks for listening to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. And, of course, you can listen to every episode on our website, SoaringEagleRadio.com. Mark Goodwin is the author of the recently released Behold, Darkness and Sorrow, Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 1, The Days of Noah Trilogy, and The Economic Collapse Chronicles, a three-book series on the challenges people face during an economic meltdown. You can find Mark on the Internet on his website, PrepperRecon.com, where you'll find his podcast show and archives and many helpful resources. Welcome back to the Soaring Eagle Radio Show, Mark.
Pastor Mike, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's always a blessing to talk with you, Mark. I consider you a good friend, and so I appreciate you taking the time to join me. I'd like to start our conversation tonight with your new book, Behold, Darkness and Sorrow, Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 1. Is it correct to believe that this is going to be another trilogy, three-book series?
It's going to be at least two.
At least two. Good.
Uh-huh. Okay. Probably it will probably be a trilogy.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping to have the second book of that out in late July.
Oh wow, that's quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's quick. Well, you're doing some very heavy lifting as far as writing goes. Then that's a pretty tight schedule. And I want my listeners to know that they can go to your website and order that book right off your website. Does that take them to Amazon, Mark?
Yeah, that's where it takes
okay.
them. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's
yep.
and it's available in paperback, Kindle, and audio edition.
Okay. Now, you've stayed true to form on this book, as you did in the Days of Noah. As well as the Economic Collapse Chronicles, and that is very realistic fiction. It's I think most people that have read the book and talked to me about it have said, you know, this is more real than it is fiction. Now, in this book, Behold Darkness and Sorrow, the trigger event is an EMP. So I'd like to discuss that first of all, and the likelihood of that happening. What is an EMP, Mark?
Well, an EMP is an electromagnetic pulse, and those are generated, there's several different ways they can be generated, but for the most part, they were discovered in the Starfish Prime experiment shortly after World War II, when they set off a nuclear device high in the atmosphere, and it generated a really high radio wave, essentially, that crippled a lot of electronics and burned out power lines and things of that nature. The Russians also did some experimentation with high altitude detonations in the 40s and 50s, and also studied the EMP effect. Of course, that effect has now been very largely considered as a weapon itself by nation states, and it's particularly thought that North Korea could possibly be planning an EMP attack against America. They have now, right after Super Bowl, they launched a second satellite. It's a KSM satellite, and both of them are called KSM satellites, and they orbit right over America, and so these could possibly be housing hydrogen bombs, which they've just recently tested as well, which would generate an electromagnetic pulse that could take out the grid of America, Mexico, Canada. If they had the right size bomb at the right altitude in the right place, it could really cripple most of this hemisphere, especially with two.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and what they do is they'll take out anything that has circuitry in it. So, cell phones, electrical grid, cars, computers, which computers and electricity are pretty much run our entire society now. So once they're gone, pretty much everything's gone. There's no grocery stores. There's no EMS. There's no police. There's no banks. There's no ATMs. There's no cars. There's no gas stations. So, it'd be a pretty catastrophic thing to have happen in a country that, has no idea where ketchup comes from.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Isn't that the truth? And we're not talking here a temporary 24-48 hour loss of power, are we?
No. This would be an ongoing thing, and it could take years and years and years to rebuild the infrastructure and the equipment, the transformers and things that we would need to restart the grid. And we don't produce any of that stuff here. It's all produced in either Germany or China, which it'd be terrible to be in such a situation that China was our only hope.
Yeah.
and the Germans have not proved to be, when you got bombs and nukes and stuff like that, then, they're very well behaved. But, when you're down in your luck, history hasn't been kind to those that have turned their back on the Germans.
Yeah, that's right. Now, the ironic thing is that, for as little as a couple of billion dollars, we could actually, the United States could actually harden its grid against this kind of an attack, though. Is that accurate?
Yeah. For what we give, I think, Pakistan in foreign aid every year, mm-hmm. A country that persecutes Christians and locks you up if you convert to Christianity.
Yeah. So we're talking about something that is a well-known technology. Experiments have been conducted. Governments understand the results, what the results would be if something like this happened, and yet there aren't any governments that are trying to protect against this, and that's amazing to me, Mark. Now, I know that you've talked to Dr. Peter Pry on your podcast, and I've talked to him as well. Peter Pry was the director of the EMP Task Force, and they put out some reports, and I'm wondering if you would touch on some of those statistics just to drive home the point for folks listening. This is a very serious problem that if North Korea or any other terrorist organization or nation decided to to use an EMP against America, we're talking about some pretty devastating results. I wonder if you'd touch on a couple of those things.
Yeah, they found that the likely die-off would probably be around 90%, and it's what's called a soft kill because you're not actually nuking America, so you're not actually killing everybody with the direct effect of a nuclear device, which then contaminates the land and the soil and makes all of our resources unusable. You know, an invading army could set off an EMP, give us 6 months to die off, and then come in, and there'd be no radiological contamination afterwards. And 6 months later, most of the smell would be blown away, is given that you've got a good breeze blowing.
Yeah.
So most of the die-off is going to be from a lack of water. People have no access to water. We have a large percentage of our population lives in a city, and they're dependent on municipal water supplies. In the event of an EMP, that's all gone.
Yeah.
And survival rule of threes is that you can go about 3 days without water. And so without a source of water, most people would be gone in the first week. So, and then as they got thirsty and they ran out of water and figured that the government wasn't coming to help them, by the time they took action to go look for water, they'd probably be drinking from contaminated streams and lakes and rivers. Yeah. And they'd get dysentery and just prolong an otherwise agonizing death.
Yeah.
So it's not good at all. It's a very easy fix. Most people, even people that are on wells, are dependent on an electric pump to pump the water out of their well. And it's a very easy fix if you're on a well to add a hand pump to that. What you can do is just tee off of the well head, put a second check valve so that you can actually operate a hand pump off of that same well head.
Yeah.
And the electric pump can be going at the same time as the hand pump, and they don't affect each other as long as you've got two check valves. And people can go to my YouTube channel, which is Prepper Recon on YouTube, and I've got a video of the pump that I put on my wellhead, and it costs about $200 to do. So that's a very small price to pay.
Nice.
To have water security, and
yeah.
And especially when it's something that's so important. But even if you're in a city, you know, think about getting a good water filter and just a couple of bottles of bleach, something that you're going to be able to sterilize, sanitize, and filter water from wherever you can get a supply of fresh water.
Yeah.
And that's something you have to think about now, because it's like car insurance. If you wait till you have a wreck, it's too late. You can't get the insurance after you've had the wreck.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that gives us a good foundation, a good background, a good glimpse into your book, Behold Darkness and Sorrow, because that event, the trigger event in the book, is an EMP. And so you've got your three main characters, and I'm not going to give any real good stuff away. I'll let you decide to do that, Mark. But your three main characters, Danny, Alyssa, and Stephen, prepared for an EMP. And I think that the reason that they prepared for it is very important. And Christians will understand this, the importance of it. But you had Danny experiencing a vision, a prophetic vision from the Lord that related to upcoming events. The majority of the church today dismisses prophecy and prophetic visions and things of that nature. But I think they do so at their own peril, and I think you believe the same thing.
Yeah, I do. And I think a lot of the reason that of course there's denominational issues where that's just what they're taught. They're taught to disregard all the gifts of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And then there's other folks that come from slightly more Pentecostal or what I think of the Calvary Chapel movement as being a little bit more, I call it a balanced movement.
Yes.
Is what I think is that you don't get too far to the left, too far to the right.
Yeah.
But
right.
I think that a lot of people, even in the movement similar to Calvary Chapel, are quick to dismiss it.
Yeah.
because they've heard so many false prophets. But then you have to think back. You have to think back to Jeremiah. You know, 40 years he spent telling everybody the sky's falling in, you know, with basically nothing happening.
Yep.
And all this time, he's got all these other prophets giving false visions.
That's right.
And I think that that is the biggest trick of the enemy, is to dilute the real message with all of these counterfeits. And I think that the counterfeit is almost proof positive that the real thing exists, because if there were no real thing, there'd be nothing to counterfeit in the first place. And so I think that you've got a lot of folks on a lot of YouTube channels and even Christian programming today that are giving out a lot of stuff that I think is not necessarily of the Lord, and it's a lot of it is from their own imagination. I don't think it's all necessarily satanic, but I think a lot of it is just stuff that they've kind of whipped up in their own head.
Yeah.
But that does not dismiss the fact that you could have actual prophetic visions and actual prophetic messages. And what I've done is I've started really tracking these people and putting down what they said was going to happen, when they said it was going to occur,
mm-hmm.
and tracking the websites and all of that stuff just for my own personal research.
Yeah.
And there's just tons of them, and most of it's not coming true. But now, back in the 70s, I'm sure you remember David Wilkerson.
Yes. Yep.
He talked about a vision that God gave him back mm-hmm. in the 70s.
Yeah.
In this vision, he said that there would be homosexual churches. Now, if you're living in the 70s, and somebody says there's going to be a homosexual church, that guy sounds like an absolute wacko,
mm-hmm.
because anybody that's going to be a practicing homosexual is doing so, and in that culture is directly defying God in the 70s in America.
Yeah.
And so that's like, if they're going to do that, that's like choosing between church and going to the lake on your boat. You know, you've chose the other thing. You don't have any interest in going to church if that's what you've decided to do.
Yeah.
Well, here we are today. And right before I left Fort Lauderdale, right up the street from my house was a church called Sunshine Cathedral. This was an exclusively male church, and everybody in there from the pastor to all the congregants, and we would see them coming in and going out when we'd be driving to church on Sunday mornings, and all men.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a gay church.
Wow.
Now, another thing that David Wilkerson said was he said that primetime television would be filled with pornography. Now, in the 70s, this is another thing that sounds absolutely crazy to somebody in the 70s. Okay, you can't have pornography on television.
Right.
In 1973.
Right.
You've got governmental agencies. You've
mm-hmm.
got just some sense of morals by the television executives in that era.
Yes.
That's not something that could happen. So he's talking about something that's absolutely socially impossible. Well, here we are in the 2010s, and we have primetime television. We've got the Victoria's Secrets fashion show.
Yep.
We've got all the bumping and grinding that you see going on at the Super Bowl half times, I don't even look at the picture. I don't even know what's going on in the Grammys. I don't even pay attention to that
stuff.
Right,
yes.
I'll see something on Yahoo News or on Drudge Report about what Miley Cyrus was wearing or doing or whatever. And it's pornography and the television shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we hardly watch any television anymore. We used to watch 24. We used to like that Jack Bauer and stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And recently there was another show that came out that was, I thought maybe was going to be sort of that kind of a television show. It was called Quantico.
Mm.
Well, on the very first episode, it wasn't 15, 20 minutes into the show. The girl that was, I don't know, she was going to try out for the FBI or something. And she's on a plane with a guy that's going to also to go to work at the FBI. And they run out of the airport, and it shows them in the car in a very, very graphic position. It doesn't, obviously it doesn't show, but it's softcore porn is what it was.
Right.
And, you know, I had to turn it right off. And, you know, unfortunately, that's most shows. I don't even watch them. So I don't even know how many other ones are out there that start like that in the first 15 or 20 minutes of the pilot episode. Yeah. But I'm sure there's just tons of them. And it's pornography on primetime television.
Yeah.
Another thing that David Wilkerson saw in his vision in the 70s was, witchcraft in the churches.
Yeah.
Now, 1973.
Yeah.
Somebody's talking about witchcraft in a church.
Right.
That's the same thing. You know, you're either going to go to the lake on Sunday and ride your boat, or you're going to go to church. You're going to choose between one or the other. Mm-hmm. If you want to go ride the boat, there's no inkling in your mind to want to go to church.
Right. Yeah.
Why would somebody in witchcraft want to go to church in the first place for there to even be witchcraft in the church? It sounds asinine in 1973 when he said this.
Yes.
That same church up the street from my house in Fort Lauderdale, Sunshine Cathedral, on Saturdays has a psychic fair where you can go get your tarot card read, get your palm read. It's witchcraft in a church with a steeple, with stained glass, with the two white doors that open up and the Greek columns and the little porch that looks like something out of you know, the church itself looks like something out of Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
But it's filled with abominations.
Yes. Wow.
And so there are, just because there's a lot of people that are having visions that aren't coming true, and people that are having visions and dreams that they've whipped up in their own mind, doesn't mean that they're not actually happening for other people.
Yes. Yeah.
And so when you see things like that, where David Wilkerson's hit three things like that, and they're coming true, and then you start hearing him talk about fires, cities on fire,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then you have to say, well, if he was right about those other three things, then I need to really keep my eyes open about, you know, the cities burning,
yes,
which was another part of his vision.
Yeah.
And now, one of the things that happens in an EMP is that the electrical lines, it really gets concentrated in the electrical lines, and they burst into flames.
Mm-hmm.
So that would very, very likely catch many major cities on fire because of the amount of electrical lines and their proximity to buildings.
Yeah. Yeah. And then without the electricity, the cities are just going to burn to the ground. They won't have any way to put it out.
No.
Yeah. Well, that's a great answer to why we should be paying attention to prophecy and visions, what the Bible has to say about the end times. Sadly, many churches pay no attention to any of that. They're too busy trying to put on another seminar about how you can be a better husband, wife, or parent. There's a place for all that. I don't mean to suggest that there isn't, but what we really need to do is stick to just teaching the Bible for what it says and equipping and preparing people. Well, one of the things that that I like about your books, Mark, is that you always take the time to make sure that people understand that there is a great need. It's an urgent need, really, for them to get prepared for a disruption in the food supply, and you also tell them, listen, it's not that hard. It doesn't take a lot of money. You can put a little bit back at a time each week or biweekly whenever you get paid, but you don't have to have a huge investment to prepare a food supply. So I'm wondering if you could take our listeners through a bare bones approach to creating a food pantry. What should they put in there? What should they stock?
Anything that comes in a metal can will technically last till Jesus comes back. The caveats on that is that you don't want anything dented. But just because it says it's expired doesn't mean you need to throw it in the garbage. If you've got a can of green beans from 1958, It's not going to taste like it would have tasted in 1958. It's not going to have the nutritional value that it would have had in 1958. But if that can is not dented, if it doesn't have any rust, you can open that and you can eat those green beans and they won't kill you. And they will have some nutritional value. And, you know, if you got enough salt and pepper, you can still make them palatable. So canned goods are a great thing. One of the easy things to store is pasta and pasta sauce. And this is something that you, whatever part of the country you happen to be in, whether you've got Kroger or Winn-Dixie or Publix or whatever your local grocery store happens to be, all these places have buy one, get one free deals. And a lot of times you can catch the Hunt's pasta sauce, and it's 99 cents, and you can get that buy one, get one free. So you're getting these big cans of pasta sauce for 50 cents. You know what you do? You get one of those big plastic tubs that they sell at Walmart. You fill that thing all the way up with cans of pasta sauce and slide that in the closet. Or, better yet, what you can do is you can get a platform bed frame. And that'll allow you to slide those plastic things underneath your bed. So you're actually not taking up any extra room at all. What happens with the platform bed frame is it's got springs in it that act like a box spring, but eliminate the need for the box spring. So you get about 14 to 16 inches of clearance underneath the bed, without the box spring, and you still have a bed that's a normal height. Yeah, there's a cheaper way to do that with the box springs, and you can just stack it up on concrete blocks and get whatever clearance you need. Now you're going to have sort of a high rider, bed. You're going to have to crawl up in that, but if you're on a budget and you just need a cheap solution, then that's one. And then pasta, of course, it's got protein in it and it will store for just about forever. The thing about pasta is that, if it's not in some type of a sealed package, it is susceptible to getting weevils in it. So, one of the ways you can do that is you can get you a Home Depot bucket. And you can just get a Home Depot lid and you can fill that thing up with pasta and cap that lid on it and leave it like that until you need it. Mm-hmm. But what I like to do is I like to rotate stuff. So I buy the Gamma Seal lids off of Amazon.com, and that allows me to open that lid and reseal it whenever I want. Those lids are a little bit more expensive. You get a 12 pack. They're about 10 bucks a piece. If you buy them one at a time, they're about 15. But, you can fill that up with pasta and you'll have that with your pasta sauce. What's even cheaper than pasta and pasta sauce is rice. You can get a 20 pound bag of rice and it's going to cost you about $8 at Walmart, if you get the Walmart brand. And then you can get a few bags of beans, a bag of beans about, $1.20 for a pound of beans at Walmart, and then throw, 20 pounds of rice and you can fit about 5 or 6 pounds of beans in that same bucket, the same 5 gallon bucket that you bought at Home Depot. And you can either buy the Home Depot, lid for $2. You can get the Gamma Seal lid, like I said, for 10 bucks that it screws out and then screws back in with an airtight lock and put a box of salt in there. And now you've got beans and rice and salt. And you've got several meals out of that. You know, that'll keep you alive one person for about 3 weeks if that bucket's all the way filled with, five or six pounds of beans and the 20 pound bag of rice. And, that's very, very cheap. You know, you just need somewhere to store it. And the thing about the buckets is you can stack those things all the way up to the ceiling. You know, if you're not concerned about what it looks like, you could actually use the buckets as the base underneath your bed, underneath the box spring, to actually hold it up so that you can slide the plastic tubs under the rest of it that's got your pasta and your pasta sauce. So now that's the cheap stuff that you could just go and stock up on. Otherwise, every time you go to the store and you buy whatever you like that's canned or that stores well, just buy two of them. And every time you've got coupons or buy one, get one free deals, stock up. You get whatever you like to eat. Mm-hmm. And it'll all store for a very long period of time. And you don't have to buy all of the expensive freeze dried stuff. Although if you've got the budget for it, you might want to buy a little bit of that stuff just to sort of break up the flavor so that you're not eating beans and rice and pasta every single day for the rest of the apocalypse.
Right. I know you've heard your fair share of people that hear this and they say, well, if all this was true, if America was about to experience a serious catastrophic event, I'd hear it on the news, and I'm not hearing it, so apparently it's not going to happen. What do you say to that?
Well, they're playing it. Ted Koppel went around to just about all of the news programs out there, and I'm not a big Ted Koppel fan, but he was, you know, part of a movement of trying to wake folks up. He just wrote a new book called Lights Out, and he finds similar findings that while he's not talking about an EMP directly, he's talking more about just taking the grid down through a computer virus, He seems to think that the Iranians and the Russians and the Chinese and other nation states are already in all of our SCADA systems, and it's just a matter of time of whenever they're ready to flip the switch, they can do it. Or it could be, you know, it could have a countdown timer inside of it. But he said it's in there and it's going to happen, and it's just a matter of when. So it's in the news. In the Republican primaries, I think Ben Carson talked about an EMP. Ted Cruz talked about an EMP. I can't remember if anybody else actually said the word EMP, but you know, it was in the debates, and this was something that was regularly coming up in the debates. While they didn't get to spend a whole lot of time on it, it was certainly mentioned by them, and you know, And anybody that's not hearing it in the news is kind of tuning out when it's being spoken about or when people are talking about it.
Yeah.
And I think it was Scarlett O'Hare that, you know, when she didn't want to deal with something, she'd say, oh, fiddly D, I'll think about that tomorrow.
Right.
And I think there's a whole lot of fiddly D and a whole lot of sticking our heads in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
When we hear about things that are too catastrophic and we don't know how to deal with them. And that seems to be the best solution, is that it's not here right now, and so I don't have to think about it today.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned the current presidential election season that we're in. Let's talk about that for a little bit. Has anything surprised you yet? Now, and I am really interested in this answer, and perhaps you're not watching them, but and I want to say for the record that I haven't watched the first minute of the first debate. I'm completely turned off by it all, so I haven't watched any of it, and so I guess I should ask you, have you? And if you have, has anything surprised you about any of the debates?
I've watched pretty much every one of them. If it wasn't a presidential debate, it'd be very, very entertaining. We used to watch The Apprentice, and all of the mudslinging that went on in the boardroom of The Apprentice is exactly what Trump has brought to the Republican primary debates.
That's interesting.
And it is absolutely, we live in a world of reality television, mm-hmm. and that's how we choose our president now. And I think that the left has been there for a little while, and it just took us a little time to get on board with that. But I think that it's the entire country now, that it's you know, we're choosing who's going to be left on the island.
Yeah, that's an interesting illustration. Well, between the front runners on the Republican side, Trump, Cruz, and Rubio, if you can consider him. I think he's about ready to drop out, but anyway, is one of those capable of defeating Hillary, do you think?
I don't know. I think an empty box of Cheerios are to be able to beat Hillary, but...
Yeah.
What's possible and what will really happen, I don't know.
But what happens if Hillary does win?
I guess we're really in for it. I think she'll be coming for the guns. I think that she'll, you know, back to Trump. You know, I think there's probably a pretty good chance that Trump could beat Hillary. I think there's a good chance that Cruz could. Mm-hmm. It looks like Trump is going to be the Republican nominee from where we're sitting right now.
Yeah.
And when I look at Trump, he is, and listen to the full explanation of this before you get upset with what I say, but I think he is the American icon. But I don't necessarily mean that in a good way. Mm-hmm. I mean that in that he's an American icon because he calls himself a Christian. Mm-hmm. You know, even now, since we've sank from the Pew mm-hmm. Research polls used to say 90% of people in America call themselves Christians. We're down to 70%, but that's a huge majority.
Mm-hmm.
But we're, as a country, we're the type of Christian that Trump calls himself. You know, he says he goes to church on Easter and Christmas and all the big ones. He said in a CBN interview.
Mm-hmm.
He owns Scores, which is a strip club.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a Christian that owns Scores, a strip club. I think that's so iconic of America when we've got something like 50% of the men in the pulpit right now have, I think it was a crosswalk.com poll that I think it was done at a Promise Keepers convention is where it was actually taken. Mm-hmm. But 50% of pastors admitted to looking at pornography in the past year.
Oh, man.
So I think that Trump calling himself a Christian and owning Scores is so iconic of this country right now.
Wow.
And the adultery that's in it, and we're mm-hmm. the number one exporter of pornography in the world.
Yeah.
He owns casinos. I think that's so iconic of the greed and the covetousness mm-hmm. of this nation.
Yeah.
He owns bars. I think that is so iconic of the addiction, alcoholism, drug addiction, addiction to pharmaceuticals, you know, Mother's Little Helper and whatever you can get from the doctor and doctor shopping and all of that. That's so rampant now in our culture. I think they say one out of, is something like a third of Americans are on some type of, mood enhancing or antidepressant or something now.
Wow.
That's unreal.
Yeah,
so
huge.
I think he's the American icon, and I think if we elect him as president, it will be America standing up and saying, "This is the man that represents us." He calls himself a Christian. He mm-hmm. owns strip clubs. He owns casinos, the symbol of greed and covetousness. Mm-hmm. He owns bars, the symbol of addiction and the pharmaceutical industry. And this is who we've chosen to be our representative. And it's like this is going on in some type of a heavenly courtroom. And this is what's going to be brought into the courtroom to convict us of who we are and what we've let this nation, become. And he's going to be the proof positive that we are guilty.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. Well, that reminds me, and I want to loop back and touch on that before we're done chatting in this conversation, Mark. But just because we're an equal opportunity offender, I want to touch on President Obama for a minute. Now, I've said this on many occasions from the pulpit on a Sunday morning that, in my opinion, he is the worst president ever, the worst president the United States has ever seen. He's been responsible for the worst race relations we've seen since the 50s and the 60s. He billed himself when he came into office as the great uniter, and he has been the great divider, in my opinion. And I think the statistics prove this point out, that he has been far worse for blacks in America than any recent president. We can point to Ferguson. We can point to Baltimore, the riots there, burning the city down. Those were applauded by Obama. Black Lives Matter, in my opinion, is a farce. It's funded by anti-American organizations and, frankly, God-haters. His constant support of Islam and hostility towards Christianity has given Muslim radicals all over the world the encouragement to continue their barbarity because they know that President Obama isn't going to do anything about it. Is that being too harsh, Mark, in your opinion?
No, I think that's a pretty accurate assessment. And you know, Obamacare has just been the worst piece of legislation I've ever seen in my lifetime in this country. It's just it's such a step towards socialism. And I think it's just it's crazy that we now have a self-proclaimed socialist running for president. Mm-hmm. And then you got Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of people are enamored with Bernie Sanders. Why do you think that is? Besides the free stuff.
I that's got to be it. Have you seen this guy, Vermin Supreme, that's, you know, he's sort of a hack candidate that's it's running, and it's a joke. He wears like a rubber boot on his head, and he's got a gray, like Grizzly Adams kind of a beard, and he wears like 47 neckties. And that's his platform, is free ponies for everybody.
Free. Not, are they unicorns by any chance, or just ponies?
Yeah, I think that's Bernie Sanders giving out the unicorns.
Yeah, giving out the unicorns, that's right. Well, I wonder, though, this reminds me a lot of the Hegelian dialectic, where they have a position or a place, the synthesis that they want to move the nation to, and so they're behind Sanders, pushing him, knowing he's not going to win, but at least they're moving the conversation in the right direction. I'm wondering if you think socialism is here to stay, or is it just a distraction that the technocrats are using to get enough laws on the book to legislate our freedom away?
Yeah, I think it's been here since FDR, and I think that it's, and it just keeps becoming more and more acceptable. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're just maybe a decade, maybe less away from behind Europe.
Yeah. That's a frightening statement, Mark. Decade and a half behind Europe.
Of course, we have to live that long. We have to, God would have to protect us.
Yes.
For 10 years to let us self-destruct like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's really a hopeful statement to say that we would be around long enough for the frog in the boiling water to bring this nation to, you know, full on socialism.
Yeah. And that's a very good point. And I can't tell you how many people have made statements like this to me. I can't believe the changes that America has undergone in the last 7 to 10 years. And so when we think about that, can we survive another 10 years? I'm doubtful that we can with our freedom and liberty intact if the changes continue at the same pace. I think we're all going to be just prisoners in the gulag if this continues. And some folks may think that sounds overly dramatic, but look at the changes that we've seen. I don't think there's a day in the news cycle that goes by, Mark, when we don't have a politician lying through their teeth about guns, and it makes me wonder about the future of our Second Amendment rights. People like you and me are now identified by our government as domestic terrorists, and I know that you've talked about this before. But it looks to me like the remnant is really being marked off. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think so. And we're just becoming more and more alienated, and especially as Christians and conservatives. And then there's this entire other class that call themselves Christians. They're that 70% in America that call themselves Christians.
Yeah.
And people that call themselves conservatives, and they just see nothing wrong. But you know, they're the ones that they're good church going people. They go to church every Sunday, every Christmas and every Easter, and they own a strip club and a casino and a bar.
Yeah.
Addicted to pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
And they're already in a gulag, I think.
Yeah.
And, it's a psychological gulag of prescription, pills and,
yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. Well, let's talk about God's abandonment judgment. You came awful close to saying that, earlier in our conversation. I happen to be of the opinion that America is under judgment, and it could be God's abandonment judgment. And that may be a new phrase for some of our listeners, Mark. I'm wondering if you would speak to that for a minute. What is it, and what's the scriptural basis for that?
Probably over a third of the Bible is the scriptural reference for it.
Yeah.
I guess it starts somewhere around Genesis. Well, yeah. if you Isaiah 5:5 is where God specifically says, I will remove, he's talking about Israel. He's talking about a nation that, you know, and Israel means, you know, ruled by God. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you could, without getting into, don't accuse me of replacement theology if I say that America is, was at its founding ruled by God. So not a replacement for Israel, but another type of Israel where I believe that a lot of our blessings came from having God as our Lord and our Creator, and accepting Him as that, and asking Him and inviting Him to be a part of building this nation. And what we've done, since the 60s and 70s is we've asked Him to not be a part of that, this nation anymore. And we don't really want Him here, and we'd rather Him just, go away and leave us alone. And we'd like Him to get out of our schools, and we'd like to not have to have, His books laying around in our school system. And we'd like to not have to be forced to pray to Him in the schools. Well, now that's become, we're not allowed to pray to Him in the schools, and we're not allowed to have a Bible verse on our desk if we're in the Marines, like, Monifa Sterling, who was the Marine that was court-martialed for having no weapon formed against me shall prosper. She had a little placard that said that. It did not even have the address on the placard that would even associate it with it being a verse from the Bible. It just had the words on it, and she was court-martialed for having that on her desk. Joe Kennedy lost his job for praying at a football game. The Kleins, of course, continue to be persecuted financially. Kim Davis was locked up for her faith, and the list just goes on, and we live in a nation now that has absolutely evicted God. And at some point, God's going to shake the dust off of His feet, and He's going to say, you don't want me here? I'll go. And at that point, that's when Isaiah 5:5, he says, I will remove my hedge from around you. And that's His protection. He doesn't have to be actively involved in destroying this nation. He just has to step back and let nature take its course.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And that's the abandonment wrath.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's happening right now. And so that raises a question, in my mind, and, I bring this up all the time when I'm teaching, and the question is this: if that is the case, and I mean if in the sense of it is the case, since that is the case, why don't churches see that? Why don't they see what is going on in our times, and why aren't pastors rising up and speaking against this evil that continues to sweep across the land? It seems that churches are more concerned with their attendance figures and their offering dollars and being liked by the community leaders and rubbing elbows with the mayor and being friendly with the school system. What's going on in the churches, Mark, that people just are not seeing what is happening in America and rising up in unison and denouncing this and calling people to repent and confess and return to God. What's going on?
I think you nailed it. It's they don't want to hear it, and they're more concerned with the numbers and the attendance and the revenue streams and all of that. And unfortunately, we recently moved, and it took us a little while to find a good church because even churches that in Revelations, you know, Jesus says you have a name, but mm-hmm. you're still found wanting. And, you know, in churches that really had a name for being something, yeah. and they absolutely weren't. And it was we saw blindness and a rejection of the truth and people that did not want to hear the truth and wanted to turn their heads and stick their fingers in their ears and go la 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 la.
Yeah.
And drown you out because they wanted nothing to do with it. And they wanted to hear it. And, church leadership would shoot down anybody trying to call attention to anything. And it was absolutely, and I understood, that feeling that Christ had over Laodicea of wanting to spew them out of his mouth. And that's exactly it. You want to say that it's blindness, but a blindness is something that you don't have the ability to see. But this is way worse than spiritual blindness. This is denial, and this is people that want nothing to do with the truth. And this is so much worse than blindness. This is people that have itchy ears, and they're going to go to if this is a church and they're speaking the truth and it's not giving them what their itchy ears want to hear, then they'll go somewhere else. And so many pastors have caved into that and they're catering to that crowd. It's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah. It absolutely is. And this is near and dear to my heart, this whole subject. And in fact, I'm teaching through the book of Psalms on Sunday mornings, Mark, and I arrived at chapter 50 this past Sunday. It's a very interesting chapter. I want to encourage our listeners to read Psalm chapter 50, and then even to go out to the Calvary Chapel of Lima YouTube channel and listen to the sermon that'll be posted there, because God is calling his people to task in this chapter, and he's calling two different groups of people to task, and one are those who claim to have a relationship, but it's really about tradition and ritualism and formalism, and when they're challenged on that, they retreat back into that instead of a personal relationship. And the second group that starts around verse 16, he begins to talk to them. Those are the wolves in sheep's clothing. Those are the Donald Trumps that claim to be a Christian, and they are anything but that. So I want to encourage our listeners to read that psalm and to meditate on that. And that is a good description of where we're at, the church in America today. And that's why they won't stand up. So, well, Mark, I'm wondering, if you've got any, speaking engagements or anything coming up that you want to let our listeners know about. You going to be any place other than your neck of the woods anytime soon?
I will be at the Preparedness Expo in Atlanta on April 23rd and 24th. I won't be speaking. I'll have a booth there, and so I'll be just talking to folks, and we'll have some books there. We'll have some really good we'll have our individual first aid kits there, the ones that we sell on PrepperRecon.com, and that's got a really good blood stopper kit in it. It's got some because that's one of the things when you have disruptive events, people are doing things that they're not used to doing. After hurricanes and tornadoes, people are out there slinging around chainsaws that haven't used a chainsaw in 5 years, mm-hmm. And you're dealing with debris and earthquakes and anything like that. You've got people that are just, you know, after the event, and there's very few medical services, and people get right. cut, and they get really, really bad cuts. And so our individual first aid kit's very, very similar to what, the military carries. It's got a Israeli battle dressing in it, compression bandage, which puts pressure on the wound to help keep the bleeding down. It's got a quick clot blood stopper sponge in it, which pulls everything out of the blood except the platelets so that that can clot up faster. It'll clot up a really deep cut in a matter of seconds rather than, you know, hours. And it's got a suture kit in it with three pre-threaded sutures. It's got Steri-Strips, which is like the sort of the temporary sutures that you often see folks that they'll go to the hospital. They didn't quite need stitches, and so they have those little pieces of tape on it. But it's really, really got a real high tack to it. So so that'll close a wound that doesn't quite need stitches. We've got, you know, it's antibiotic gel in there. It's got EMT shears, which, you know, if you've got a really bad injury and sometimes you can't get the clothing off, you can just cut the leg out of the pants or the sleeve out of the shirt or whatever to get to the wound to be able to address it. Yeah. And, betadine swabs in there. That's what they clean you up with in the hospital before they sew you up. So, a lot of advanced medical stuff in there, a TK4 tourniquet. So, you know, if it's not an artery, a lot of times that Israeli battle dressing will stop the bleeding. But if it's spurting, you know, and it's a leg or a arm, you know, you've got to get a tourniquet around that to stop that bleeding because you can bleed out really fast. So we've got all that stuff in there. We sell those on the site. You can go to PrepperRecon.com, click the store tab at the top of the homepage. We'll have those at the expo. We'll have some other prepper related stuff. And of course we'll have the books and we'll be, you know, signing autographs for anybody that's a fan of the books and just talking to folks about preparedness in general and hoping to get more people to be part of the solution.
Yes, yes, amen. So that's April 23rd and 24th in Atlanta at, is it called the Expo Center?
It's called the Galleria. I don't know if you look up Atlanta Expo and you put those dates in it, the information will come up.
Okay, okay. You can get that first aid kit as well as a lot of other very useful resources there at Mark's website, PrepperRecon.com. The book we were talking about was Behold Darkness and Sorrow, Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt. That's book one. You mentioned earlier that book two is coming out, you hope, in July. And so we're looking forward to that release, Mark. Any other projects going on?
No, and then I will say real quick about Behold Darkness and Sorrow. It did hit number one on the Christian fiction, futuristic fiction for Amazon for that category.
Excellent.
And that's another one of the things that I like to do is, you know, I talked about all the horrible stuff that you can't watch on television, and we don't have a lot of, you know, sometimes you need to unwind, you need to relax, you need some form of entertainment.
Yeah.
And as a Christian, you know, that's getting slimmer and slimmer of what you've got to pick from.
Yeah.
So one of the things God's really laid on my heart, besides trying to get people prepared and get them to wake up, is to try to provide some good, wholesome entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, and so, it's something that doesn't have the sex and the language and all of the stuff in it that you can sit down and read and not have to worry about grieving the spirit inside you while you're reading it. So that's something I certainly try to do with all of my books. And
yes.
And the folks that have read it, it's got really, really good feedback from Amazon. The folks that have read it's really, really good reviews. It's entertaining folks like it. It's a good story. There's a good story in there, and there's a lot of details around the story and things that it's just I had a lot of fun writing it, and
yeah.
And it's an adventure that the friends go through of having to get ready. You know, he gets the vision and he sees what's coming with the EMP, and you know they have to kind of scurry to get ready because they have zero preparedness and they really don't know what they're doing, and they're trying to throw everything together, and with God's help, they get it all together, you know. In Matthew 6, Jesus talks about all the things that, you know, you're not supposed to worry about. And it doesn't mean you're not supposed to do anything about it. It
That's
just means
right.
You're not supposed to worry about it. You're not supposed to be consumed with what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? All of this stuff, you know, you're not supposed to be consumed with that. But you have to think about it, and there needs to be some preparation. And
yes.
A lot of folks use that passage of scripture to preach against prepping. Yeah. And if they're going to use it for against prepping, then you have to use it against getting a job, because you know if you're not going to have any thought for what you're going to eat or drink, and you're going to take it that literally, then you know, my goodness, you really shouldn't be spending 40 hours a week at a job. You should just be praying and volunteering at church and you know, enjoying being in the presence of the Lord. And you know, unless you're going to vote for Bernie Sanders, that's not going to work out too good for you. And even if you vote for Bernie, you're still going to have to get up off your tail and go cash your food stamps. So does that qualify as giving thought to what we shall eat and what we shall drink? You know, where does it end? You know?
Yeah. That's exactly right. And by the way, somebody's got to pay for that free stuff. So don't vote for Bernie. Don't do that. Mark, I've enjoyed our conversation as always, and I appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
God bless you, my friend. Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, Pastor Mike at woh.rr.com.